If we can get into this morning, let me just do a little bit of review. If you did not have a sheet from last week, we're on the back side. If you need the notes for the front, either get with me or one somebody else that's got them. Anybody did not have the notes, Brother Chuck, when he gets back, he'll get you the notes when I see him come in. He's got them, but he just took off. Okay. All right, so my intention as we're getting into this firm foundation course, this is pretty much what I taught when I start churches over in Africa and different places, and I've modified it some because there's things that you know and are totally aware of that these people have never heard of before. So I'm having to kind of put together, and my intention was not to go in super detail through the creation, because most of you have heard of creation. They don't have a clue. So I really go, we take it and do a lot of things that we're not going to do here, but just to give you the overview of creation and to point out certain things. I did make a mistake in my typing or senility or whatever it was on day two, where it says firmament and that's supposed to be, then you got some other words there, separation of land and sea. Separation of land and sea is supposed to be on the next line down there in day three. So just so you can put that in perspective there. On day one, we're just going to review very briefly, not going to get into detail or anything, but on day one, God created matter. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. And he created light, and that'll be important as we get into our study today. There was no such thing as light and darkness and all that until God created it. Darkness was on the face of the deep. He creates light here on the first day, and he creates time. There was no such thing as time. God is eternal. God is a spirit. He takes up no space. He has no matter, all of this. And there was no time because he's eternal. That's why it says in the scriptures over and over, it says the evening and morning, that's day one. And then he says the same thing on day two, day three, day four, all the way through. The evening and the morning is one day. And it's in a 24-hour context, and that's, you find that in verse number four, and we've already covered that, but just quickly a review. And then we come to day number two. And I tried to find different pictures or something and put together things that may help people understand. And there's no way you can actually do that. Pictures just, they fail. But in this, on day two, he creates the firmament in verse number six. And God said, let there be a firmament, notice, in the midst of the waters. There's something that's going to happen here. It says, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. It was so. We call that the canopy theory. You have the firmament, which is that lighter blue in between the other two blue spaces there. That's called the firmament, what we call heaven. Then you have the waters, that which was literally covering or part of the earth. The earth has not been exposed. It's not been separated yet, but this is waters that he sees there. And then you have the waters above. And to man's best understanding, they call it the canopy theory. Now, some say that the canopy theory won't work. And they just deny the very thing that they try to say when they say they believe in God. They say, well, the UV rays can't come through. they'll say that the light filtration, with the difference in... listen, if God can create all of this, can God not make it work? We're talking about total abnormality as far as the physical that we can understand. How do you get firmament in the middle and you separate waters from waters? And how you can do that? God said it, and it matches the rest of not only creation, but the rest of what we know is of the earth and all of this and the floods. But people get so nitpicky and they say, well, you can't have that coming through the top waters and it'll affect that. If God created it, he can make it work, whether we think it works or not. He does not go by our science or lack thereof. So on day two, he created the firmament. He separated the waters from the waters, and we'll say more later on as we go through. Then on day three, he had the separation of the land and the seas, that water that was there on what we call the earth. He separated it from the land and the seas, and he also then made the grass and the herbs and the trees. He didn't have to wait for it to dry out. He didn't have to plant the seeds. Everything was fully developed. Why? Because he's going to develop man here in the next day or two. And he's going to have birds, and he's going to have fish and everything. They got to have stuff to eat and all of this. So everything is produced in its full. It is already complete. Then we come where we left off last week. We'll start today on day four with lights. It says in verse number 14, Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. The purpose of these lights was to divide light from darkness. Light already existed. Light did not come from the sun. There was no sun. But on day one, he created light. So light was already there. But he is designing this specifically for us. God didn't need light. God didn't need dark. God didn't need water. God didn't need fish. He didn't need any of that stuff. He's doing all of this on the behalf of his creation, man. And so as he says, man's going to need a time of sleep, of darkness. And man needs to be able to see when they're working and things of this nature. It was never God's plan that we go 24 hours a day in Las Vegas. That's when sin comes out. But light and darkness already existed, and it wasn't separated. Now you explain that to me. Light and darkness are there, but it's not like light is over here and darkness is over here. That didn't happen until this day four, when he separates them. Now, how are you going to do that? You can't explain it. Only God, in his infinite wisdom, can know and understand this. God simply places the sun and the moon and the stars to give light and guidance for who? For man. That's why there was further establishment of the measure of time. Notice he says they're for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Some people say, well, you know, a day is like 1,000 years. Okay, you're going to have a long work week. So Jonah's going to be in the belly of the whale for how many, 300,000 years or 3 million years? You can't just arbitrarily grab a figure and twist scripture to make it say what you want it to say. And that's what a lot of these people do. God simply placed it there. It was for guidance, and he established time, and he is mapping out time for us. What is time? How much is a day? How much is a year? And he goes through all of this. He starts off with time, with signs. God says a sign, that's a signal. The term is called a signal or a flag or a beacon. That's why people look at the North Star. Why? They can get directions. That's why the sailors, they could navigate, and even in the air, we do the same thing when we're flying. When we're flying missions in the military, you can navigate off of the stars. If your instruments go haywire and you find out where you're at. Then for seasons. The means to appoint a time and place. That's what the word season means. Appointed time or place. There's a right time for plowing or sowing or reaping or summer or winter or spring or planting or harvest. There is a specific time. Oh, it might vary a day or two. That's no big deal. We might say, well, summer starts here. Well, we kind of forgot to include God in all that, didn't we? Where do we think we're so smart that we have all of this thinking that we are changing the atmosphere, changing the earth, and all the global warming and things like that? Man, we're piling bales in the summer, 105 degrees, and people say, well, man, it's that global warming, it's 90 degrees here. Well, it was hotter than that back then. It's crazy. Man tries to question and challenge God on everything he does. And God is establishing time here in what he's doing. Notice he says days. The evening and the morning. He didn't leave it up to us. He defined it himself. The evening and morning were one day. The day one, day two, third day, fourth day. He goes all the way through the evening and the morning over and over, that 24-hour period. You say, how do you know that? Because it takes the earth 24 hours to rotate one time. Who made that happen? How did he know that there was going to be a morning and an evening and within a 24-hour period? Because he created it. And then you have years. The annual revolution of the sun around the earth and orbit around the sun, rather, is 365 days. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. You just have to believe the Bible. He's the one that created years. He's the one that created days. He's the one that created weeks. He created all of this stuff in the beginning. And nothing that you can do or I can do can change any of it. We'd have to be bigger and stronger and more powerful than God himself. And we're not. I always think about all these financial wizards and people like that. How are they doing? Not so hot. You know, they used to say, well, the market went up this because Russia was going to make a peace treaty. The next day, they went down. Why? Because Russia was going to make a peace treaty. They're guessing. They have no idea what they're talking about. Usually, And that's why the world is in such a mess that it's in. He created the sun. He created the moon. And he created the stars also. The sun is the greater light that rules the day. The moon is the lesser light that rules the night. The fixed, absolute authority of God's word and God's creation. Man cannot change it. Man's tried all kinds of things. They throw out all kinds of theories. You can pass a law. You can do whatever you want. It will not change because God created it. The stars, 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And I love Psalms 147, verse 4. He knows their names. God knows the names. I couldn't even call out every one of y'all's name. My brain, that's too many. God knows not just this 100 billion in our galaxy, but he knows every star, and he's named every star. He knows them by name. That encourages me because he said he knows my name too. I'm not just a number, I have a name. And he is concerned about me. He's infinite. He's omniscient. Over and over you see this through scripture. There's called super giants. Stars like this Betelgeuse. I thought that was a movie. I didn't know. I heard somebody talking about it. Betelgeuse. It's about 642 light years away. I can't even fathom that. VY Canis Majoris are hundreds of times larger than the sun. Their size and energy output far exceeds that of our sun. Hypergiants like UY, Scooty, I don't know where they come up with that name, but Scooty, can be over 1,700 times the radius of the sun. Why do I say that? Is it trying to make you impressed? No. All of that, burning like the sun, gravity, all those kind of things, and they have absolutely no effect on Earth. Why? Because God put our sun exactly where it should be, and our moon exactly where it should be, and all of those stars exactly where it should be. And God said, the reason I did it is so that you will have signs, you will have seasons, you will have days, you will have years, and the sun, and it's going to give light to the earth. God knew exactly how to put it together. Man would never have done any of this. And that was just one day, in day four. Come to day five in Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. The term, let the waters bring forth abundantly, is interesting. And this is where evolutionists claim that it's saying that all these things evolved out of water. That the birds evolved out of water. That all of this has come out of water. So is God using the waters to bring forth the creature as he did with man when he created him out of dust? When he said Genesis 2:7, from the dust of the ground, he created man. Or is he creating them in the water? This is also talking about the insects, it's talking about reptiles, it's talking about et cetera, all these creatures and stuff. There's big disagreements when it comes to this passage, whether God created the fish and the sea creatures from the water or did he create them in the water? And to me, it don't make any difference. I mean, really. You cannot get past the fact that God says he created them. They weren't there. And we get hung up on this other stuff and trying to prove our point about evolution or otherwise, and we miss the fact God created it. Whatever. Now, the fact that God created it is enough. If he created man from the dust of the earth, could he not create fish from the water of the sea? I mean, third grader can answer that. In verse number 20, notice he says, and fowl. How do we fix that problem? Did the fowl come out of the water too? No, fowl cannot be created from water, and were not created from water because what he says in chapter 2 and verse 19, where he says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. Instead of harboring on that and trying to twist it and make it say something it's not, just keep reading. God tells you what he wants you to know. And so always God, in this first, it's obvious that God's intention in verse number 20 in chapter 1 was to provide that broad overview of creation. He's not going in all of the details, but he's saying he did this. Now, he emphasizes in all of that the order of creation. You're not going to put fish where there's no water. You're not going to put animals where there's no land. You can't have animals eating without vegetation and stuff. It just, everything he does is in a specific order and in a specific time pattern in his creation. But Genesis 2:19, when we come to that, it offers the actual account of the creation of man and animals and the fowl. There is no contradiction. God specifically says that they were created from the earth, not from water. So on day 5, he does all of this. But now we get to day number 6. Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Now watch this. After his kind, cattle and creeping things and the beast of the earth. What? After his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth. What? After his kind and cattle. And God said, let us make man, not after his kind. God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them, period. So God creates animals and man, and this is a foundational principle. Remember, we're talking about firm foundations. We're establishing our entire worldview on verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If God did that, and man as a sinner does not receive Christ, as the Bible says, he will die and go to hell. It's his choice. If he does receive Christ based on the rest of the Bible, then he will go to heaven for eternity with God. What's that based on? The fact that God was in the beginning, and God is the one that created the heavens and the earth, and he goes through day after day and establishes exactly what he did and how he did it and why he does it. That's a foundational principle. Another foundational principle, after his kind. He says that five times. There's many species, but there's only one kind. You can have a canine, but that may be a chihuahua, or it may be a wolf. You can have a different, a feline thing, and you can have a cat, a little bitty old, one of them little cuddly pussycats. Or you can have a Bengal tiger. There's a lot of different species in that, but there's only one kind. And you cannot interchange that. You don't see horses having cows. You don't see pigs having dogs. All of these different things, the distinction and preeminence of man is what he's stating here, and he's separating them from every other creature. There was not evolution. Man is different than animals. He did not come from an ape or come from an amoeba or come from something else. God says he's set apart. He's set above the other creation. And that's why he said he will have dominion over all of these things. And God said, this is God. The word is Elohim there, that plurality and unity. Let us, that plural God, let us make man. You say, well, maybe he had somebody else there he was getting advice from. There was nobody. This is in the beginning. There was no man. There was nothing. He's creating it. He is talking with himself. Let us create man in our image, after our likeness. Another, God sets absolute boundaries. Now think about this. You and I have boundaries. We're limited. Governments are limited. All of this stuff. God has no boundaries, but he sets boundaries. He says creation is limited to produce after its own kind. If you leave the creation alone, it will not produce anything else. You can try to clone, you can try to do all this, you are manipulating, it will not produce itself. Because God created it after their kind. It's an absolute boundary. Now, so in our image, the evolution is impossible. There's no animal that was or was ever made in the image of God. No animal's made in the image of God. And you can't just all of a sudden decide to be God or be like God or be in the image of God. You can't do it. Death occurred. As we go along in here, death occurred spiritually in Genesis 2:17. He said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. In chapter 3 and verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did God the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. He took the skins off of an animal. Death is the result of sin, and sin did not enter until Adam. So if the earth and the animals lived for millions of years, like these people say, there would have had to have been death somewhere along the line. Birth and death and all of that. Because they find them in fossils in different stages and different growths and periods and this and died of that. They'll tell you all kinds of stuff. It's absolutely impossible because there was no death until God slew, I believe, a lamb. He doesn't say a lamb, but in typology, I believe that's what it was. There wasn't death. And men and animals were vegetarians. I hate that term. I am a meat and potatoes man. Give me a beefsteak. But in the beginning, men and animals were vegetarians. That's why in Genesis 1:29, and God said, "Behold, I have given unto you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. And to you," he's talking about man, "to you it shall be for meat." Watch this. "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat," and it was so. Everything, everyone, every creature was a vegetarian at the beginning. Lions were out there eating the deers and stuff like that. Everything. They said, "Well, they had sharp teeth." They sure do. Have you ever been, how many of you have a dog? Okay, the rest of you cat lovers, God help you. You'll watch that dog that has what? Sharp teeth. And he goes out in the yard and he starts what? Eating grass. And then he comes in and throws it up on your carpet. So I know he's been eating a lot of it. Listen. God made everything in a certain way. And God says, then there's a time when things are coming. It was changed after the flood. He says in Genesis 9:3, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things." Now they could eat meat because God is giving it to them to eat, like he did when he gave them the herbs in the beginning. So up until the flood, man were vegetarians. After that, God says and gives them permission, okay, now you can eat. You can eat the meat like you did the herbs and the fruit. God created man in his image. People say, what is that? Well, first of all, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Takes no space, no time, no matter. Yet, in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 4, he laughs. In Proverbs 15:3, he sees. In Genesis 8:21, he smells. In 1 John 5:14, he hears. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, he speaks. And in Genesis 32:32, he touches. Why are we designed in our physical body, sight, smell, see, hear, touch? Because we are created in the image of God. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. An animal is not created in the image of God. He only has a body and a soul. And we're going to prove a lot of that to you as we go along. God created man. The term was Adam, both for male and female. He created Adam, and then he gave them their individual names. But when he created man, and he specifies male and female, in males, there's 46 chromosomes. Pair number 23 is the XY, or the male chromosome. In the woman, in the female, she has 46 chromosomes. The 23rd pair, just like the male, has a chromosome, and it is XX, or female. I know you know all of this, but we've got to be reminded, because people are going to seed on this stuff, and they have no idea what they're talking about. There's only two. You can call yourself a whale. You can call yourself a horse. You can call yourself a Sherman tank. But when you check your DNA, you're either XY or you're XX. That's it. Why do they do that? They're trying to change the Creator and His creation. And you cannot do it, no matter how hard you try. God's creation is different. Nothing we say or do can change God's creation. His creation is different. God created fish, the critters in the water, birds in the air, animals on the earth, and man in his own image, and woman from man. From man's rib. Somebody said, well, how come we don't have a rib missing? Because the body's designed to live forever. And once you have that rib taken, the physical rib to give to Eve, when you have children, you're not, when I got my finger cut off when I was a kid. They sewed her back on. Makes a good trigger finger. Makes a good preaching. You don't know if I'm preaching to my wife or you, brother. And it's a good coffee cup holder, amen? But when I had my children, not one of them come out with a broke finger or cut off finger. Why? Because in reproduction, God's creation, his fixed after his kind goes to all of this stuff. You are not produced with a flaw like that, just specifically because your parents had a cut off finger. That's not the way it works. I know there's hypermorphism and there's a sequential hypermorphism and there's all sexual reproduction. It is never found in humans. It's only found in earthworms and banana slugs and clownfish and wrasses and oysters and starfish and flatworms. You want to associate yourself with one of them? Go ahead. But it is never found. This is always the illustration that they'll go to prove their evolution. Never happens in a human. Why? God's fixed, absolute, we are in his image. Now, one other thing. Man was created to work. We need to publish this more. In our society, man was created to work. Genesis 1:26, it says, have dominion. That means to rule over. When he's ruling over the creation, Genesis 2:15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. The word dress here means to work or till. The word keep is to oversee, guard, or watch. So as God already put him, sin had not entered into the world yet. And he puts man in the garden and says, I want you to work. That's our responsibility. Now, as part of the curse, we have to work hard. And we got to work by the sweat of our brow. And it's a never-ending thing. But God created man to work. A human soul is different than an animal soul. A human soul is eternal, created in the image of God, knowing right and wrong. But the animal soul is not eternal. It does not know right from wrong. Ecclesiastes 3:21, "And who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" When an animal dies, it just dies. And it decays. But the soul of man goes upward. The soul of man is in God's hands, created in the image of God. Now think about this. Jesus died to remove the penalty of sin for who? Man. He did not die on the cross to remove the penalty of sin for an animal. Why? Animals don't sin. They're not under the same rule and effect and everything that humans are. You turn a bull out to a cow, and there might be 100 cows out there. She doesn't sin, or he doesn't sin. But you turn a man loose with 100 women, you got sin on your hand, and God declares it a sin. Why? Man and animals are different. Animals are created just as an animal. Man is created in the image of God. Jesus Christ died to remove that penalty of sin for humans, not animals. It's another proof that humans are not a higher form of animal, and they do not evolve from animals. Animals were the innocent sacrifice to cover man's sin. But God clearly states in Hebrews 10:4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." Why? Because there's a difference. There's a difference in animal blood and human blood. There's a difference. And though the animals there were innocent, they did nothing wrong, but their blood could not pay for one sin. And after man has sinned, man's blood is corrupt, and now Jesus has to come to pay that sin price, because only his blood is a perfect, spotless sacrifice. They were innocent, and God has chosen man in all of his trying to get us to see his image. Because there's a difference, and though an animal is innocent and without sin sacrifice, an animal could never replace or be a part of man. All of this evolution stuff that is being taught, and we're going to get into what I call my little fat man. No reflection on weight. You'll see next Sunday what I'm talking about. This absolutely changed my life. And I'd been a pastor for several years. Now, a school teacher, a buddy of mine, Mike Hurd, he began to go through some stuff with me when I was back on furlough from the mission field. And he began to explain some things, and for the first time, I understood myself. And for the first time, I understood why people do what they do. And it changed my life. It changed my ministry, changed my counseling, everything. So I'll be here next week. We'll go ahead and get into this, and it'll be kind of fun, as you'll see next week. All right? Lord bless you. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Ask you to just be with us, be with Pastor as he preaches the Word of God. Lord, just help us to know that you are our Creator, that we can trust your Word, we can trust you Man has all kinds of ideas and opinions, but man was not there in the creation. So we can either trust man or we can trust you. And we can see man has messed up in every area that they've touched. Lord, bless us now as we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Lord, bless you.